The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Hyundai. Now offering 5 years free servicing on every new 142 Hyundai. Ireland's fastest growing car brand.
Now, thanks to Joan Burton, with me is Deirdre McSweeney, who is a sleep technologist, which is a very fancy title. Deirdre, she's from the Mater Private Sleep Clinic. And the reason we wanted to talk to you, Deirdre, is this is the time of year when anyone with young children, you know, everybody else is walking around going, oh, the long summer days, they're great. And people with children are bleary eyed and bags under their eyes because none of them will sleep because it's so bright in the evenings and they can hear all the other kids out playing. So there's that category of people. And then there's other people who are just chronic insomniacs for various reasons. Mm. So you believe nearly everybody can be helped. Is that right?
Sure, sure. Everybody can manage their sleep. But actually, you have to also step back and think that your sleep manages you. Because really, sleep is one of the most simple biological signals our bodies have. And it's pivoting on light. On light issues. One of the things, just since you've started with the topic of children, you're right, they're on their summer holidays. They should be allowed to stay up late, and why ever not? The discipline of the alarm clock going off in the morning for school is gone. But
the parents still have to get up for work.
True. Well, I mean, I could be terribly cruel and say this entire topic pivots on two elements, and one is discipline and the other is light. Because light is the most important environmental cue we have into sleep.
Because it triggers a hormone, doesn't it?
Of course it does. It's called melatonin. And we get this little message into our bodies with the increase of melatonin in the evenings, which gives us that little signal, if you're lucky enough to get it, that it's time to sleep time, time to lie down and get a chunk of sleep to carry you through for the next day. Now, children, you know, can play on that quite a bit. And with the brighter evenings, you're quite right. You know, the instant trigger to further enjoyment is to stay out in it.
But and especially say you've got, you know, a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old or a child who was sleeping and now suddenly they're not sleeping and they can hear their brothers or sisters outside playing, or they know that daddy downstairs watching the World Cup or whatever, and mammy, and they just don't want to be out of the action.
Don't want to settle. Yeah.
What do you do?
I'm afraid it is a bit of discipline. The darkened room is the key. But taking children in out of light into a slightly darker room also helps as part of the wind down. Because for a lot of people with sleep issues, and we'll tip into that in a minute. One of the issues is one about ritual. You know, unbeknownst to ourselves, a lot of the time create rituals for ourselves that give us the lead in.
So things like the bedtime bath or a bowl of cereal at bedtime,
exactly.
Are they good cues?
Yeah, they are good cues. And with children particularly, they love the ritual of the wind down, the sort of cozying up on somebody's lap, the bedtime story, and then into the room. The darkened blind in the summertime is the main help.
And do you go to them or do you not go to them when they, you know, you do all of that and you put them into the bed and they're roaring and they're shouting?
The reason I'm grinning at you is I have a colleague who had me in stitches about this, because child number 3 was a major problem in their family. And she said to me that they, herself and her husband, twigged that the problem was actually them when the sleep therapist asked to see just them and not even the child. So that's my point. You do have to be a little bit disciplined. If your child was a good sleeper up to the lengthening evenings, you have to still hang on to that element of discipline, that it's time to lie down time now, let's get you going.
So you don't run in and out, you leave, 10 minutes, 15 minutes
in
between?
I mean, if a child is hollering, it's pulling at your heartstrings, obviously, but every parent has that intuition to know when there's messing going on.
Yes, but it's getting there.
It is.
Yeah, and the other thing is you end up so exhausted yourself, you just can't listen to it.
Sure, but the one thing I do want to say, and this is appropriate to the older child, and obviously it's going to be something that is now affecting the adult population as well, and that is the stress I want to put on the use of screens. That is the iPhone, the iPad, the Kindle and the TV.
But you can hardly detach them from them, that, you know, and they're sneaking them in under the bed covers
That's where major discipline has to take place. They are not an appropriate place in a bedroom.
What's wrong with them?
The light frequency of a screen it's called in the blue light spectrum, and it is exactly the trigger to our brain that practically tickles us awake. This light frequency is coming in through the retina of our eye, hitting the appropriate part of our brain to be read, obviously, as a signal. And that's kind of tickling you into thinking, hey, it's wake up time.
And it's the same true for adults, because
absolutely,
an awful lot of adults, you know, it's not just the children, they've got the TV in the room and, you know, maybe the World Cup is on there and maybe somebody's looking at their iPad there and, you know, the phone is going beside them.
Absolute madness. I mean, one of the people I know within the sleep world, within the insomnia world, absolutely calls that what is called the nesting instinct. They're sitting in the bed under the duvet. That's a lovely message to give yourself to slide off to sleep. But then you have the iPhone, the iPad, the Kindle, maybe even a pizza beside you. I mean, it's all this madness that we're bringing accoutrements of living into a bed space, and that's simply not on.
But so it's the way an awful lot of people in their late teens and early 20s live.
In particular,
that generation.
But the research has shown worldwide that it is having a major impact on people's sleep quality.
So we're kind of rearing a generation of insomniacs.
Well, kind of, sort of, unless we all just pull our bootstraps up and say, no, you're not taking the phone into the bedroom or that iPad or that Kindle. The bed is for sleeping in and only for sleeping in.
That's bad habits, which is one thing. But then the other thing is people who have no choice. For instance, people who do shift work. And as somebody who did shift work for a long time, one of the things I end up saying is that, oh, I've no sleep pattern. I find it very hard to sleep, for instance, because I did shift work for so long and I'm so used to being awake when I'm naturally exhausted. It's very hard to drop off. Is that common?
It is common because there still
nurses,
is.
Nurses, of course, would
of course,
be doctors,
is a huge cohort of people who do that type of thing. I mean, the trigger again goes back to light. We recommend that, for example, people coming off shift into an early morning wear sunglasses in the car on the way home. You know, start to darken your environment for yourself so that you're trying to create. Now, that's all very well if you're on a schedule that, for example, a week on, a week off, your body will adjust. And I mean, this is the thing, Anya, I really want a positive message to go out from this, is that, if you like, our bodies know how to do this for themselves if we let them. But unfortunately, life and living for people at this stage is creating such an amount of distress.
Because, you know, the thing, I'm sure you come across it an awful lot, people who come into you and they're absolutely desperate, and very often it could be, you know, an illness that causes chronic pain or the menopause or just as people, or a bereavement. And they're there night after night.
Tossing and turning.
And thinking, I've got to do this, that and the other, and how am I going to do it? I'm so exhausted.
There's the key. They're tossing and turning in a bed space. So they're bringing a lot of distress and frustration into the very place that should be an oasis of peace and freedom from this. So for people in that sort of context, really we do recommend, again, a bit like the children, a bit of a wind down, a relaxing wind down now in the living room. But another helpful thing for people is really to devise for themselves some type of mindfulness or mental harmony for themselves, where they can lose themselves into a bit of imagery when they fall into bed.
Like a tape of sea waves coming in and out or something like
that? If that's your
thing,
certainly, you know, but just focus in on something nice and pleasant that you can take yourself through.
Not Metallica, not the news.
Not necessarily. But even before that, I actually get a lot of patients who attend us to, if you like, get the piece of paper early in the evening, write down a couple of points about the day, how it has gone and how you feel about it. Dump it. Get rid of the day. There's no point in mulling over something at 9:15 at night if it's already happened at 11 o'clock.
I shouldn't have said this to that person. Why did I do that? And I have three reports to write about that.
Correct.
And I didn't do those today.
But that's on your to-do list then. So you have this piece of paper which has sorted the day that has just gone by, and now you're going to write your points for what's ahead of you. So you go to bed in a kind of a harmonious state that everything is sorted. Mm-hmm. Everything is sorted. I had one particular nurse friend of mine who would be just on the cusp of sleep, suddenly wake up with a sharp bang and think, I've no clean uniforms for the morning. She'd dash out to the landing to find three freshly ironed uniforms on the banisters. But that's the level of hyper vigilance that patients are suffering with at the moment. And it can be for the variety of reasons that you've just said, including, you know, the financial distress that people's lives are under, bereavement, all the big emotional hits in our lives that are terrible stresses and strains for people to deal with. But for some people, sleep is their little trigger factor for just not actually coping with that.
And what about sleeping tablets, particularly, you know, for someone who's awake at night because they are in despair, or for somebody who's awake at night because they're sleeping in a bed by themselves for the first time in, you know, decades,
of
and
course,
it's heartbreaking. And
yes,
you know, there's no way they can just tell their head to, you know,
absolutely
follow good sleep.
Oh, yes, of course.
What should they do?
Medication has its place. There's no doubt about that. And GPs obviously are part of this network of dealing with patients with this scenario. Medication use is now a very carefully considered topic.
And there are new kinds of sleeping tablets, aren't there?
Well, there are kind of what are called the lighter dosage ones, which are devised to get people off to sleep in the hope that our bodies will run us into the rest of our night's sleep. And then there's the heavy duty stuff that's needed to actually flatten you and keep you asleep. Mm-hmm. But one way or the other, careful monitoring by GPs is important in this context. And it is quite easy to get people both addicted, but it's also very easy with, you know, correct advice and use of cognitive behaviour therapy to withdraw people safely from their medication.
Okay, and I know if people go online, the Matter Private Sleep Clinic where you work, there's lots of advice about the good
of
habits
course,
and all the rest that people can follow. So there's a lot that the parents can
well,
do, there's a lot that we can do.
The main headings
ourselves
would be caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, diet and exercise as being the impact on our sleep that we do to ourselves.
Okay, and the thing about it is, if you don't get the sleep, you'll still cope. You'll still cope.
Exactly. Look
all
at
right
you.
Deirdre McSweeney, thanks a million for coming in to us. Now, don't doze off. Stay listening. We'll be back with more after this.